How are you doing?
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Jesus, the Only Way Radio Blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, including the ones online, let's give God some praise. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Today, we were going to have Sister Viola Louise Anderson, and she is the director for the Woman Life Transformation, along with the Haven of Hope girls that were going to share their testimony, but there has been a delay. She is on her way to the doctor. We have no clue what the issues are, but we must keep her in prayer. And I'm asking right now, Sister Beverly, as well as opening up for this radio blog today, to keep her in prayer, and let's open us up right now in prayer.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we do come before your precious throne of grace once again. And we just thank you, Father, just for the blessed opportunity that you always afford your children on any given day, Father God. Father, we come now, first and foremost, praying for the lady who was supposed to be the speaker here today, Sister Viola, Father God. And along with her would have been some other women, Father God, that would have had testimonies that they would wanted to have shared here this evening. And, Father, because of some type of an emergency that only you know about at this point in time, we're just praying, Father God, over that situation, whatever it is, Father God. We're just trusting that you would just help and that you would indeed work everything out for the good, dear Heavenly Father God. We pray, Father God, that at another time, as you so designate, that this woman, Sister Viola, and those that would have came with her, oh God, will come before, Father God, and give that testimony that they have in their heart to want to give. Now, Father, with the change in plans, which is something that you knew would occur even before the foundation of this earth, I'm praying and I'm seeking for your Holy Spirit, Father, to lead and to guide us this day, Father God, into the conversation that you would have us who are on this phone to be a part of, something that you want to touch somebody's heart with, Father. So use us as vessels, because that's what we are as your children. We're vessels, vessels that you pour into us, that which you would want to come out. And somebody somewhere, Father God, will be blessed by something that will be said here today. Somebody will get an answer to prayer today, I do believe, on listening to this call today. So even though it came as a surprise to me and Sister Faith and those that are on the line right now, that our guests wouldn't be here, it was not a surprise unto you. And so we're just trusting the preparation that you had prepared for us before the foundation of this earth to flow forth out of our hearts and out of our mouths, that we might be a blessing unto whoever would listen to this recording. Father, these things we pray, and we give you thanks and glory and honor for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Beverly. Okay, let's get started. whatever the Lord has placed on your heart, if anyone would like to share, whether it be a, you know, maybe a testimony, maybe a praise report, maybe something that's on your heart at this moment that you would like to share, it's open to anyone that wants to share at this moment. Would anyone like to go ahead and start? Sister Beverly, do you have anything that you would like to say or that's been on your heart or that you wanted to share? Maybe it be a praise report or something that, you know, maybe it's something that happened from Easter. Do you have anything you would like to share?
Well, you know, anytime that a person is asked to share something, mm-hmm. we ought to be ready to jump up and give praise and glory and honor to God about just any number of things. And so I'm just praising the Lord just mm-hmm. for the little things in my life, even things that, you know, that seem so insequential to even want to even mention. But if it were not for God, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, where would any of us be in our lives here? And so I thank God just for the little things. I thank God just for every breath of air that he allows me to breathe. I thank him just for giving me movement and motion in my body. I just thank him for the promises that he gives us in his word. And I just truly praise and thank the Lord for his word. And it's just got everything in it that any of us could ever, ever need to make it from this life into eternal life. And the thing that really stays on my heart a lot about the things that concern me, one of the things that concern me a lot, is just the lost, people that don't know the Lord for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's really something that I take to heart very seriously. And I'm praying for lost souls just daily because this is a concern of God. And he tells mm-hmm. us in his word that it is never his desire that anyone should perish and that he does not take delight in anybody that's in their wickedness, who wants to remain in their wickedness. God is a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a giving God. And I think about the season of Easter that we just observed as Christians. And I just think about the loving and the caring God that he is, because before the Lord ever thought to think about putting this earth together and creating the heavens and the earth, and before he even reached down to create Adam, already had a plan in mind of what he would do, because he is a God that is all-knowing. He knows everything. And so, therefore, in knowing all things before they even happen, he was already prepared before the foundation of this earth to show himself as Jesus Christ, our only sacrifice, and to go to the cross of Calvary and to die on that cross. And, you know, this is a powerful God that his word tells us. It says, no greater love than this, than that one would lay down their lives for a friend. You know, and he considers us not only his children, but his friends that he's willing to die for. And he came into this earth seeking and to save that which was lost. And so, you know, I just praise God just for the magnanimous, the loving God that he is. I mean, his love is beyond any comprehension that we can even wrap our minds around. And his word tells us things like, you know, for his children, those that would receive him unto themselves, that our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard, and neither has it entered our hearts, the good things that God has planned for we who are his children. And when you read his word, I mean, I just don't know why people don't want to come to him. It boggles my mind sometimes to even think about Satan being a created being, also being in the very presence of God, seeing all of the awe of God and just seeing the majesty of God. And I just don't even understand how he could be so foolish, Satan, to just want to rebel against this God that has, you know, created him, you know. And so this is mind-boggling. And God's word tells us that he allows it to rain and to have sunshine on the just and the unjust. And so God is a very loving God. He's a forbearing God. He is long-suffering because it's not his desire that any would perish. And so it's just hard for me sometimes to get my mind wrapped around why people don't even want to accept God as Lord and Savior of their lives. People don't understand. Some people don't understand that we are eternal beings. And as such, we're going to live on, you know, after this life is over, these mortal bodies, you know, are put into the grave. That spirit is still going to be living on somewhere. And so it's either going to be in heaven with the Lord or it's going to be in hell in torment. Those are the only two choices. There's the only two choices. And people that go out of here taking their lives thinking that they're going somewhere, you know, especially if they die in their sins and they think they're going somewhere really special. No, the choice is when you die and we make this choice as we live, you're either going to heaven to be in the presence of God and be a part of all that he's got planned, because his word tells us about the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the streets of gold and all of this. You know, that's for God's children. Those are the things that God has promised to his children. But those that are not his children, that is not a promise that he makes. The promise that he makes to those that rebel against him is that they ultimately will reside in the lake of fire and brimstone. And it will not be an area where one will be annihilated and never exist again. It will be where your soul is existing. And there will be regrets. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a real place. That's a place where the devil is going to be tossed into. And so the devil, the thing about it in Scripture, it tells us the devil already knows what his fate is. And so I don't understand why anybody would want to follow after the ways of Satan. But I guess because they don't know his end. But I'm telling you, Satan's end is to be put into the lake of fire and brimstone,
yes,
and to be eternally destroyed forever and ever and ever in torment. All of the fallen angels that went after him, those demons, that's their home. And so I'm just speaking to people that are lost, to people that's on the rope, don't know if they want to come and be part of the Lord's family. I'm saying come on and make that choice. And God makes it so easy, and I'm almost done here, but God makes it so easy for people to come to accept him as Lord and Savior, because his word said that he even puts it down inside of us to know that there is a God to give praise and worship to. His word tells us that we will be without excuse in knowing that there is a God to give praise and worship to. He tells us that all the things that he has created that are seen and unseen, they speak to the fact that there is a God to give praise and worship to. And so, come on, God is going to hold us accountable. He tells us that none will be without excuse standing before that throne, whether it's the great white throne judgment, where that's going to be the punishment of the non-believers, or at the judgment seat of Christ for us who are his children. But at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be something totally different, because it's going to be about rewards and that type of stuff, or lack of rewards. But you don't want to be in the wrath of God. You don't want to be at that great white throne judgment. You don't want your name written in those books that are talked about in Scripture. You want your name to be written in the Lamb's book of life. And you want the promises that the Lamb gives to us. Hallelujah. Who is Jesus the Christ? Hallelujah. And so I'm praying for the lost, that they would come to faith in Christ. And as I say before I close here, this is how easy it is to be saved. It is first by the grace that God extends to you to be saved. It is by that which he puts down inside of you. It is by that that he gives you the faith to believe. For God's word tells us that he gives to each of us the measure of faith. Hallelujah. And it is with that faith that he himself gives to us. And he only requires that we exercise faith that is but the size of a mustard seed. So his word says that it is by grace through faith that we come to be saved. It's not of ourselves, lest anyone would want to boast. Ain't nobody going to stand before God and boast. Nobody is going to stand before God and boast. It's going to be that you got saved because God first had grace
to extend to you, and then he had the heart to put faith into your heart to believe that you can have that measure of faith to believe. So everything is going to be about God. It's not going to be about any of us. And God said no one will stand before him boasting, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue one day will certainly confess that God indeed, hallelujah, is God Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That will confess that
hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. And as I conclude, yes, God is known as God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, but he is just one God, able to show himself that way in three distinct ways. And so I challenge anybody out there, if you have a Savior somewhere, tell me what your Savior has done. Has your Savior gone to a cross and died for you? Have your Savior risen up with all power and victory in his hand? Can you say that your Savior created the heavens and the earth? Can you say that your Savior even created you and breathed into you the breath of life, eternal life? Can you tell us that your Savior is promising you something much better after this life? Uh-uh. No. I don't think so. So I challenge people that don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that while there is yet time, while there is yet breath, to breathe on, and the opportunity is before you. Accept Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior by the grace and the faith that he gives to you to be able to do that. And with that, I say hallelujah, thank you, Lord, praise God, amen. I'm done.
And thank you, Sister Beverly. Thank you, Sister Beverly. As you were speaking, a scripture came to my heart, and this is Psalms 40 and 3, and here David wrote, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And so with that, David had an experience with God. He was rescued, he was refreshed, and in the presence of God, and he was charged. And because of this, he could not be silent. Just like you're
Amen.
Saying, when you know God,
Amen.
You cannot be silent. You have to share. God has put a new song in your heart. David was excited. He had joy. He was happy. He was relieved. And so he started to sing. And so with that, when you know God, when you have that experience with God, you can't be silent, and you're drawn into God. And once you are drawn into God, you have to tell other people. And that's where you were saying the people that don't know will see the joy that you have.
Amen.
And they will trust in the Lord as well. And so,
Amen.
Whatever we do, wherever we go, we got to share either our testimonies, we got to share what God has done, because God has done in you, and you cannot be silent. You must tell all.
Amen.
In the Lord. So the faith.
Amen.
God doesn't want nobody to be left alone, nobody. And so every time we wake up, it's a celebration. Just like we celebrated Easter, it's a celebration each and every day. We got work to do, and there's time that we can get out there and share the word with others, and it is so important. It is so important. And so I thank you for what you spoke on today. That was that is something that is so important. And even in the body of Christ, even in our churches, we are responsible people to share the word and give it to the one.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for
Thank
your word.
You. Amen. Thank you. Does anyone else want to share anything that you would like to place on your heart? Deacon Chapman, you're being real quiet back there. I know you have something to share.
I was just listening. But reflecting on the conversation that we had earlier about anger before the radio started.
I was just
speaking on that in the area of a conversation.
Yeah, but
I had asked Deacon Chapman something about anger, and he was sharing some things, but then it was time for the show to start. So, Deacon Chapman, you can go ahead and speak on that anger part, because anger is something that causes us not to have that direct relationship with the Lord. And that's something that's got to be removed from our heart. So you go ahead, Deacon Chapman, on that.
Well, there's two words I always look at, anger and healing. But first, let's deal with anger. What is anger? And then why do we get angry as confessed followers of the resurrected Christ? Now, do some look at anger as a negative emotion? And also, have you ever thought about why God get angry with us at times? Because anger is a response to an assault. Now, okay, say someone attack us, and one of our options is to lash back. I have learned in life is not what's said or done to me that affects me, is my response back to it. And also as human beings and Christians, we struggle with anger, and a lot of us feel anger. Now, have we ever looked at what the effect of anger has on other people? Can be quite damaging.
Yes.
And the guilty feeling, Sister Faith, that we often feel after we cool down and give ourselves a pause, we respond by saying, "Was I wrong, or did I do something bad to that person?" But when we turn to the Bible, we're surprised to see what God does not always say, condemning anger. Okay, let's look at, I'm going to read some verses out of Psalms 37. Mm-hmm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall that thou dwell in the land which verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of the heart. Now we go down to verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prosper in his ways. Because of the man who bringeth wickedness, device to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And, okay, why do nations get angry? Why do kings of nations get angry and prepare for war? Why do the people that sit in the pews on any given Sunday, Bible study or whatever meeting, get angry? And I have found out one of the most problematic areas where anger is always exercised is in church business meetings. And I've heard things come out of people's mouth that I was surprised to hear because I had no inkling that they thought that way. And if we don't become angry, and because we do come angry, that's not going to help us live the right kind of life that God wants us. Well, not read all these scriptures, but you can look at 1:19-20. And then another thing is that we look at Sister Faith. While we're angry, mm-hmm. should be careful not to adopt the world's methods of dealing with anger. Okay, when you go to the 9th chapter of Genesis, you'll see what God told Noah after he got off the boat, that we're not supposed to destroy the flesh because the flesh is created in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
What do? We get angry, we pull out our knife, we go get our gun. Look at the killing that has been done. Just say in the last 2 years in America,
mm-hmm.
of the anger. Look at the way the politicians are throwing, as they say, shade and slat and hash against each other in this campaign. Now, do we want people like that to lead our country and also in the body of Christ? Why should our leaders always be angry and want things their way? We're supposed to be doing it God's way. And if someone, Jesus slap you on the cheek, you turn the other cheek. If someone wants to show up and sue you in court to take your shirt, let him have your coat. And if someone forced you to go with him 1 mile, Jesus said go 2 miles, the 5th chapter of Matthew. So in our selfish, self-centered, unthinking anger, which is always automatic when our desires are not met, ultimately directed at God. So have you ever, anyone that's listening, have you ever was confronted by something, instead of lashing out, you went somewhere and got quiet and talked to the Lord about it? And I've told Sister Faith, that was a problem in the 16th chapter of Mark, about mm-hmm. the three women, Mary and Salome. They were debating on how they were going to get that stone moved away from Jesus' grave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when they got there, the stone was already moved. So here, the problem was solved, and also they had access to go into the tomb. But when they went in, what would happen? They were frightened because they seen this young man dressed in a long white garment. And he, well, we know the rest of the story. So what I'm saying is that sometimes you got to let God work, let go and let God. Let God work out the solution. We're not supposed to constantly attack, because sometimes you can attack a person and you wind up getting damaged. You wind up getting killed.
Amen.
So then we look at healing. Now, mm-hmm. what does the Bible always tell us about healing? Why do gospel spend so much time talking about Jesus healing people? Jesus healed people that asked to be healed, and some people he just went to them and healed, like the man at Bethesda at the pool. He just mm-hmm. asked him, want to be made whole. That's all he asked him. Do you want to be made whole? And what did he do? He gave him 30 years of problems that he had getting to the pool. And he just asked, why didn't he just say yes? And that's our biggest problem. We don't know how to say yes. And Jesus did not reserve the healing ministry for himself, but he passed it on to his disciples. Now, I'm going to put it this way. I'm not going to go out there and profess I can lay hands on somebody and heal them. But if I do that, I will pray to God according to his will to heal them, because I don't have the ability to heal nobody. Cause I have to go to the doctor myself. So the thing about it is that the healing ministry from the apostles to the church, but it's spiritual, like in Isaiah 53. Everybody said, well, I'm healed physically. No, no, Israel had to be healed spiritually first. Then the physical heal coming. And the thing about it is that God desires is for us to be delivered, to be saved, and for his people to be healed, but healed spiritually. Yeah. Okay. We got a ministry on, I mean, people say they got a PhD in divinity. I call PhDs prayer, healing, and deliverance. Because that's one of the things that has been kind of disappearing in the body of Christ is prayer, praise, and worship. PBW. And if Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer,
mm-hmm.
why do we go with all our little tomfoolery with messages that has nothing to do with prayer? Joel Osteen said he don't mention Jesus and much of sin and stuff in Jesus because he wants people to be enlightened. He wants people to be uplifted and stuff. That's the only person that can uplift you is Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up from this earth, I will what, draw all men unto me. Joel Osteen has over 40,000 members in his church. Well, not his church. He say his church, but the church belongs to Christ. No man or no woman owns a church. Because, first of all, Christ is formed in our heart by faith. And when that happens, now we become part of that church that Christ said, upon this rock I'll build, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, did the gates of hell and the grave hold him? No. Satan was defeated at the cross.
Amen.
The grave did not hold him. He rose from the dead. When he walked out of that tomb, he walked in a new light. Didn't he say that Matthew
yes.
5th chapter, that first and 13th verse, you're the salt of the earth? He wanted to teaching these disciples that they're to preserve this word. Then he told them, I'm the light of the world, but when he's gone, you're the light of the world. We are supposed to be the light of the world now. We are the new light. You know, but a lot of us got flashlights and they ain't got no batteries. So we got to go back to the law. We got to go back to scripture. We got to go back to prayer. We got to go back to healing. And that is one of my prayers constantly for this year, that not only families be healed, the body of Christ be healed, the government be healed, friendships be healed. People just be healed, Sister Faith.
Amen.
In healing. There's a benefit in healing. And you only get to know how to heal is that you're getting that word. And Proverbs, it says something, if I'm not quoting correct, if a child is wise, he'll be happy. So if you get wisdom of God's word, that should put you on a road to happiness. But
Amen.
You have to listen to the wisdom of God. You want
Amen.
To find the mind of the wisdom of God? Read Exodus 19 all the way to chapter 24. Then if you want to read about value laws of God, go to the book of Leviticus. But the thing about it, as the nation rejected God, we rejected Jesus. Do you know anyone that have turned their rejected Christ and turned their back on the church and walk away? I call them foot voters and never explain the way why you leave. So sometimes people, in fact, that was in my lesson Sunday, sometimes people are struggling with the delusion of their spirituality.
Amen.
So the question is, when are you going to begin? When are we? I always like to put things in the we because when people think you pinpoint them when you say you or them. When are we going to constantly let go of this anger and start healing? Because didn't it say that in the Chronicles that he will heal the land and forgive this? Okay, let somebody else talk. Look, amen on that.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman.
That
was a good word what you spoke on. We have gotten to the end of our video blog, and Sister Beverly, would you like to close in prayer?
Amen. I sure will. Thanks for that message.
Thank you, Jesus.
Deacon Chapman, amen.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father God, as we come once again before your precious throne of grace,
thank you,
Father God, for having everything for the foundation of this earth. And we just thank you, Father God, for the words that you put into our hearts that flowed out of our mouths here today, Father God. And we just praise you and we just glorify you. We just pray that something was said here today that would touch the heart of somebody at some point in time when they would have listened to this recording. We continue to pray for Sister Viola and those who were supposed to have been a part of this segment today, but they were unable to be. And so whatever the emergency is, we still continue to pray for your hand in it, Father God, to just work everything out for the good. And now until we meet together again, we just thank you for all the many blessings that we know are coming our ways. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all that tuned in today. Thank you, Sister Beverly, for opening and closing in prayer. And Deacon Chapman, thank you for your word as well. And with that, you guys have a very blessed evening, and God bless you all.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.